This is Doug Miller. Faith. It's not a leap into the dark, but rather a step forward by the light of the Word of Almighty God. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We've been in it for quite a while now, because it's not an easy chapter. You can't just run right through the 11th chapter of Hebrews. You got to take time with it. But maybe, just maybe, we'll finish it up today, although we've still got about, nine verses or so, eight or nine. Well, we'll see. Bring your Bible. Come along. Open up to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we will begin with verse 32 today. Last week at this time, we were looking at Rahab the harlot and the walls of Jericho falling down flat. Today, we will just take up some individuals who are in this hall of fame, as it were, and talk about them. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And as you have heard me say many times and will continue to hear me say, we are solely and utterly dependent upon God's people for any support that we have. And we very much appreciate it and very much covet your prayers and just your word of mouth. We don't have any advertising budget, and we're not going to have it. We're not going to send letters out or take out billboard space. We're not going on radio or TV to announce this thing any more than what we're doing right here. It's strictly a word of mouth thing. So please tell people to listen and listen and write our name down on your prayer list and pray. Pray that this message will go out farther and farther out to the very ends of the earth, because people need to hear the truth, and God's Word is the truth. And pray for me that I will tell the truth in love and in grace, and that God will put a guard on the door of my lips so that I don't say things I shouldn't say, because it's kind of awesome to sit on here and talk into this mic and know that this message is going way out there. And that I'll be responsible before the judgment seat of Christ, the beam of Christ, for what I say on here. So pray for me, okay? And let us hear from you. Always a pleasure to get letters from our listeners, to know you're there, that you're listening, and that we have made connection. Be delighted to help you with anything we can. Copies of the broadcasts are free for the asking. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. In verse 32, we get this, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who," and that's the last name. We've got a lot of people named in this chapter, beginning with Abel and running down. It's kind of interesting here, of Samuel and the prophets. Doesn't name them, but just Samuel and the prophets, and Samuel is one of the prophets. And every one of these individuals, when you take a look at them, they are individuals who did something based on faith in the Word of God. God spoke. They believed it. They laid hold on it. They went forward on that Word. And God blessed and honored them for that. And when you look at these guys, I mean, these guys are not exactly the pick of the litter. Many of them are kind of bad news. and certainly did things that were bad. I mean, David, you might take a look at Samuel and say, well, it's nothing recorded that he did that was bad. Yeah, well, what about David? I mean, here was a man who was an adulterer, a murderer. There are a lot of bad things you could say about him, but one thing you can't say about him, you cannot say that he did not believe God. He had a heart for the Lord, and he laid hold on the word of God. And time again, if you go back and read in 1 Samuel, for example, 2 Samuel, if you read in the book of Chronicles and so forth of what David did, you will find him time and again being obedient to the word of God. How about this guy Samson? Now, he's an interesting soul, isn't he? Here is a man that, as you read of him, you say, man, this guy was a wastrel. I mean, he was kind of almost out of control, it seems, at some times. I've always thought that Dr. Scofield had an interesting note on Samson in the Scofield Bible. And I'll give you this. I don't have a Scofield Bible in front of me. I use it sometimes, but I've got a Newberry laying here, which is the one I normally use because of the diacritical markings and the insight it gives you into the Greek language. So I'm just giving you this statement by Dr. Scofield from memory, and if I don't get it exactly right, I hope you'll forgive me. What he says is something like this. He says that Samson is an enigmatic and sort of a confusing figure. He had tremendous gifts, and yet he seems to have wasted much of his life in living in a way that was not exactly profitable or honoring to God. He said what was real in this man, however, was his tremendous faith in Yahweh Elohim during an age and a time of declension and apostasy. And that faith God honored. I kind of like that. I kind of think Dr. Scofield is onto something. When you look at Samson, you might say, man, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done this and so on and so forth. And yet, what was real in this man? He had, and we know it from this chapter 11 here, he had a real, deep, abiding, unchanging, unwavering faith in Yahweh Elohim, the Lord his God. And it was at a time when not a lot of people did. Israel, they were far gone in sin. They had gone after Baal, and they were under the heel of the Philistines. And here was Samson, kind of a lone wolf, out there by himself, as it were. And did he break his vows? Yes. His Nazaritic vows? Yes. He certainly broke one of them, we know, the one about getting his hair cut. Don't know for sure that he broke the vow about drinking wine. We're not told that he did. You might get that from watching the movies, but the movies aren't always accurate, certainly. We know that he broke his vow about his hair. And when he broke that vow and Delilah had his hair cut off, he became weak like any other man. Now, you know, this is worth talking a little bit about Samson here. When Samson allowed his hair to be cut, this was a part of his Nazaritic vow. He was a Nazarene, or under the Lord, a Nazarite, rather, under the Lord God. And it was a threefold vow. He could not touch a dead man or a corpse. Well, I don't know. He killed a lot of them, so I don't know how he did with that one. He could not drink wine or even eat grapes or raisins. Getting this from the book of Numbers, where you have the vows of the Nazarite laid out. And the third one is that all of his life, or as long as the Nazaritic vow was on him, he had to let the hair of his head grow. He could not cut his hair, no razor could come upon his head. He was a Nazarite to God, announced from his mother's womb. Now, he had tremendous physical strength. And you'll notice it's kind of interesting. Samson is generally pictured as some big muscle man, you know, kind of like Schwarzenegger in his better days when he was back in the Mr. Universe contests, you know, and pumping iron. I doubt very much that Samson was any more muscular or anything than anyone else. And the reason I say that is Delilah was always asking him, you know, over and over, what's the secret of your great strength? Well, if he had been just a big, brawny muscle man, there would have been no reason to ask it. He must have been very ordinary looking, very much like any other man. But he had a secret, and he knew what it was. You might say, well, what about that long hair? Why was that so important? Well, I can tell you on a typical level, I can give you the type. What you have in the type, you get it in the 11th chapter of First Corinthians, don't you? If a man have long hair, it's a shame to him. A woman's long hair is her glory. Long hair on a man, it's a shame. What you have in the picture of the Nazarite with the long hair is someone visibly and openly bearing shame for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Okay? Now, don't let your hair grow out because I said that. Because you don't need to. Not today, not in the dispensation we're living in. But that's what you have in this Old Testament picture. And once Samson's hair was cut off, kind of interesting, he became weak like another man. And Delilah said, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. And he said, I'll go out like I did before, and I'll smack them around. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And they took him and blinded him and put out his eyes and took him down to Gaza and bound him in the prison house to the grinding mill and made him grind flour. What kind of life is this for a man announced by an angel and a man who with this tremendous gift of strength who had begun delivering Israel out of the hands of the Philistines? And here he is now. What kind of a life is he leading? He is blind. He can't see. Then he's doing the work of an animal. And he's going round and round in circles. And no matter how far he walks, he always comes back to the place where he started. He's getting nowhere fast. And his great strength and his gifts are being used to make food for the enemies of God's people, the Philistines. Now, I'll leave you to put all that together and make the connections. And on a spiritual level, that describes some of you I'm talking to right now. Your lives are utterly meaningless. You're going around and around in circles, back and forth to work, but there is no real meaning to it. And you are frustrated at every turn. And you sometimes look up in your spiritual blindness and cry out to God, what is going on here? Why am I like this? Well, look at Samson. Interesting thing that the Bible says about Samson in the book of Judges, where this story of him appears. And it's actually Judges chapter 13 where you get the whole thing. It says that when he was locked up in prison, his hair began to grow again. Now think of these Philistines. How dumb are these guys? These guys are slow. They knew that when they cut his hair off, he lost his strength and was delivered into his hands. You would think that some of them would have presence of mind enough to look at him and say, hey, we got to keep this guy's hair trimmed back. But they didn't. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, I can tell you why. That's no great mystery. They didn't believe any of it to begin with. They didn't understand and didn't believe that what had happened to Samson was a result of his unfaithfulness to Yahweh Elohim. They thought that this idol of theirs, this fish god Dagon, had delivered him into their hands. That's what the great celebration was about at the end. What silliness. Their idol was a piece of rock. He was not a god. He couldn't see, he couldn't hear, he couldn't smell. And they were in defiance of the living God. and defying him and worshiping an idol and thinking this idol had done something for them. They were as blind as bats spiritually, but Samson was gaining his spiritual sight even though physically he was blind. And you know what happened when they took him out into their temple and he said to to make fun of him and to worship their god Dagon, he said to the lad who led him by the hand, "Suffer me to feel the pillars upon which the house rests, that I may lean upon them." Oh, son, if you value your life at all, you better fall down and start praying to God. You're done for. But the kid did this very thing. He didn't know. And you know what Samson did. Oh, Lord, my God, hear me this once, I pray, that I may be avenged for the loss of my eyes. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the temple fell on him. And here you have, and he made it, for all of his problems, into the hall of faith here, along with Jephthah, along with David, along with Samuel. What do we read of these men? And this, and women even. There are women in this hall. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. We think of old Daniel in that regard, don't we? Quenched the violence of fire. We think of the Hebrew children in that regard who were tossed into the fiery furnace, don't we? Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Can't help but think of the Gentile woman whose son died and who Elijah raised up to life, and another Gentile woman who Elisha raised her son up to life again. Women here received their dead raised to life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, is all of this some kind of glory thing? Are we walking through this earth as kings and conquerors? Do I go out here and in faith I become the president and once again drive in that solid gold Cadillac and rule and... Oh, no. Oh, no. For all of you out there who are deluded into thinking that if I have faith in God, I'm going to cruise through life on a bed of roses, I want you to listen to this. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And look at this in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. That's what happened to some of them. Faith in the Lord God is not guaranteeing you a bed of roses. Paul the Apostle said, all they who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer affliction, will suffer torment, will suffer persecution. That is the word of God. Did Paul shrink from that? Oh, no. He said, bring it on, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, look, that's in the third chapter of Philippians, if you want to look at it. Paul desired to be so identified with the Lord Jesus in this place that he identified with him in his suffering, helping to fill up, as it were, the sufferings of the body of Christ, even here and now, knowing that that's what he was appointed to. In fact, when God called him, he said, I'll show him how much he will have to suffer for my name's sake. Notice this bunch of people we've been talking about. The world wasn't worthy of them. The world wasn't worthy, and it hated them. It could not wait to get rid of them. Now, I want to tell you something. For those of you who are out there right now, and you may be suffering affliction of some sort because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, line up. you are in the Hall of Fame. If by faith you are standing for him, praise the Lord and rejoice that you have been counted worthy to suffer for his sake, because that lines you right up with this bunch. They were outcasts, many of them. They were driven out, slain with the sword. And I'm telling you, anyone tells you that, you know, you're suffering for Jesus' sake, and they're telling you, well, it must be because you lack faith, just stop listening to them. Just say, go, you know, get away, go somewhere else. You might try talking to them, and you might show them this passage. I guess you owe them that much. But I don't listen to that sort of thing. All of the Lord's people throughout history have been subject to suffering because of their faith in Christ. And these guys were no different, and neither are you. Look at this way this chapter ends. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What was the promise? I believe the promise is that they will be glorified with Christ Jesus when he comes to rule and reign in his messianic kingdom. Now, I say that because all that we have been looking at here, these are all Old Testament people. I feel very confident in telling you, these are not the church. The church didn't begin until Pentecost. The church are those in this dispensation who have believed by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been born again in his image, and they are the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And we have something very different ahead of us and promised to us, very much greater than anything these Old Testament people will ever know. But I'll tell you one thing, these Old Testament saints will be raised up, and they will stand in life in the messianic kingdom with our Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of his glory when it comes on this earth. But they died not having received this promise. They knew it. They looked for it. But they didn't receive it yet. And it says here, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or completed. What is the better thing for us? The better thing for us is those of us who are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, that we are his very body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We shall reign with him in glory. We are the very ones who are being brought into glory as children of the living God. He is bringing us with him to stand before his Father. Now let me ask you, those of you who have been listening to me out here for some time, I would hate to think that you listen and go your way and do nothing with what I said and with what this word has said. I would like to think that you will take Christ Jesus at his word and God at his word and take hold of him as your Savior and Lord and be saved. Why don't you do that right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.